This is Warbird Radio Live.
Well, good evening, everybody. Matt Jolly here with you for Tuesday, the 21st of November. My goodness, the time is flying by. Glad to have you with us tonight for this episode of Warbird Radio Live. We are coming to you live from our undisclosed location here in Southwest Asia. We're happy to be with you today. Listen, there's a lot to talk about tonight, and if you have something that you want to call in with us, we're going to open the phone lines up a little bit later today. And we will get some of your phone calls in. The number to dial later on, 478-787-4768, is the number to call. It's also a free call from anywhere in the world via Skype tonight. You can dial in. Just use the username Warbird Radio, and we'll get you right on there with Skype tonight. Glad to be with you this evening, and hopefully it's a good night wherever you're at. We want to welcome our guest tonight, who is... Well, he's no stranger to the Warbird scene. This guy was a former F-15 driver, among other things. The current, I believe, only civilian-rated F-4 Phantom pilot. So, Jerry Kirby, welcome to the show, sir. Glad to have you with us.
Hi, Matt. Thank you very much for having me. And, yeah, it's great to be here on Warbird Radio. But I'll set the record straight right away. There's like three or four other guys that are flying the Collins Foundation Phantom still. So,
well, no flying yet. How many instructors, though? How many instructors, though, Jerry?
I think there's a couple of guys.
Oh, there are. Okay. Well, then that's good to know, though.
Yeah.
That really is good to know. That is such a nice aircraft, though, isn't it? The Collins F-4.
Back, and it's amazing. It's amazing to be able to strap that thing on, you know, and it's the Harley of the skies. It sure is. And to go down there and get in it and fire up those J-79s is a real blessing.
Well, we are talking with Jerry Kirby. He is one of the founding members of Draken, which is a military contractor that flies aggressor jets, training the current airmen, the ones that are waking up and just now going to bed over here where we're at, currently flying in the fight. And then also a new jet, not jet team, but a new air show team called Trojan Thunder that Jerry is behind. We're going to get into that later tonight. But, Jerry, I got to ask you, how did you fall in love with all of this, this craziness called aviation? When did you first get involved in all this?
I think there's probably one incident that I can point to. And I was an itty-bitty guy way back in Lancaster, Missouri, and at the fair one day, they had airplane rides for sale for a penny a pound. And 75 cents later, I was up in a Cessna 172 looking down on little cars that looked like ants, you know, driving through a field there. And I was hooked immediately and knew it. I had to get involved with it, and it just kind of grew from there. So, you know, when I was 15 years old, I started flying lessons and soloed on my 16th birthday, licensed on my 17th birthday, and then, you know, about the earliest birthday I could get a commercial and an ATP, I went on and got it.
And the rest is history, as they say. I didn't know that story. A penny a pound for a ride is how you got it.
I know.
That's right out of the great Waldo Pepper. It's great.
Yeah. Well, what sticks in my mind was I was a fat 11-year-old, I think.
Yeah, you hoped you had a dollar, right? Oh, well, that's a great story. So,
yeah. So
you meet up with the United States Air Force at some point, and you know, start flying jets, and you really have not stopped flying some of the greatest fighters ever to live. Is there a favorite that still sticks out for you, Jerry?
No, I think, you know, the F-15 is still near and dear to my heart because I spent so much time in it, you know, involved, you know, taking the fight to the enemy with it. And, you know, it brought me home every time without issue. And so I think that's probably the one that's going to be my all-time favorite. But I think the one airplane that I feel like I had just a great impact, you know, to Americans and especially veterans in the United States was the F-4 Phantom. And I was lucky enough to bring that out in the airshow world. 5. We were able to paint the QF-4s, which were the drones. We were able to put some historic paint jobs on them and get them out in front of the public flying in the Heritage Light. And to talk with the veterans and general public as well, but mostly the veterans, Air Force, Army, Marines, Navy, all of those had stories that would just water your eyes and sometimes bring tear to your eyes, listening how that airplane actually impacted them in their greatest time of need, be it in Vietnam, coming to the rescue and allowing them to, you know, to escape a bad situation and actually live, to just having a love for the airplane. I'd have maintainers coming up to me, ripping parts of their clothing off so they could show me a phantom bite, you know, where the airplane had actually cut them or made a mark on them throughout their career fixing the airplane. And they showed it with pride. So I think that was probably the airplane that that I was able to touch the public with more than anything else.
I think it's a great one, too. You know, and I know I've told you this, but I was going back through a very near and dear person to my heart and discovered that he had actually flown the F-4 that that you're still flying, the last one, the Collins Foundation aircraft. Had a few hours in that actual jet back in its day when it was at Bentwater. And you're right, that jet touched so many people. There's a multiplier that I think you can almost put with that jet that has touched so many lives throughout America and for that matter, abroad. Let's speak to that, because not only were you here in the United States working, but you also you had a stint in Saudi Arabia when you were still in the Air Force, standing up a program there. Can you talk about that a little bit? Because I think it's an interesting twist in your career there.
Sure. Yeah, it's the United States Military Training Mission, and at the time I was based in Dhahran, Saudi Arabia, which is on the eastern coast of the Arabian Peninsula there, and flying with the Royal Saudi Air Force, embedded in their squadron, and did that for about a year, and then as part of the U.S. Military training mission. And then we were charged with standing up their first ever F-15C weapons school for the Royal Saudi Air Force. So we graduated the initial cadre of instructors, and then my time there, we put two more classes through and, you know, set them on a path of excellence patterned after what we do here in the U.S. Air Force. And the curriculum, although not exactly the same, it was certainly patterned in that same frame of allowing them to achieve a much higher level of abilities than they had previously.
Well, I bring up the training part of it because I think it's interesting that this goes all the way back into your Air Force career, what you're doing today with Draken. Tell us a little bit about the mission, because I remember when you and your buddy there were talking about doing this, and lo and behold, here it is a number of years later, and Draken is just staying super busy. Congratulations on the latest contract that I read about coming across the wires there. But talk to everybody about the mission, because it is a really great one.
Well, I mean, we were created, you know, to be a new standard in aviation service capabilities, and that not just for the Air Force, but all branches of the U.S. military, DOD, and then in allied countries as well. You know, we've got a fleet of over 100 aircraft. Fighters, and we support, you know, all the military training objectives that they have. Probably our most visible contract is the one that that we're executing out here at Nellis Air Force Base in Nevada. We're supporting the 57th Wing here with the Fighter Weapons School, with the Red Flag, Green Flag, and then the test community that's here as well. And so a substantial amount of our flights that we're doing right now are right here at the home of the fighter pilot, which is Nellis Air Force Base. But not only that, we have missions abroad. Currently in Europe, we're flying every day. We're supporting the Marine Corps, actually dropping live practice bombs for them in support of their JTAC training on the east and the west coast. So we're quite active. The contract that you mentioned was in our National Guard contract that we were just awarded. And so the Guard has seen the value of this alongside the active duty Air Force. And we will shortly be deployed to several training centers where we'll conduct two-week exercises in support of their readiness for the Air National Guard.
Now, you know, that all sounds really nice, Jerry, but I mean, at the end of the day, and you can level with me here if you'd like to, is this really just a group of guys that have an airplane problem and this is a great conduit to go out and have over 100 fighters that they get to fly? I mean, seriously, this is an incredible opportunity for you guys in a second career, is it not?
It is. It's a great opportunity as a second career, and you know, but that's only one side of it. Obviously, I think
you just have an airplane problem, Jerry. You know, I think that's what this boils down to, is that you guys needed a way to have some really cool aircraft, and you know, hey, this is like a script though, right out of Hollywood, for you guys to sit back and get to go do this every day. What have you learned, or have you learned anything about being a fighter pilot in this second career that surprised you maybe a little bit?
I learn every day, Matt. I mean, every time I strap one on, you know, and take off and head out on a training mission, I'm learning. I'd like to say I'm getting better and better every day. I don't think you ever stop learning, you know, in this world. I still feel I'm as sharp as I was when I was 25 years old. I'm sure there's people out there that would dispute that, but I certainly don't feel any less capable and less sharp as I did. And, you know, the old silver fox is that the old silver fox can teach the young boys a lesson just about every time I go up.
Well, how does that employ with Draken today to these fighter pilots that we're, you know, passing on the streets every day out here who are flying the mission right now? Talk to us about that, if you will, and maybe speak to that a little bit with Draken. What are you trying to teach these guys?
Well, sure.
When you're out there?
You know, the mission, why fight and win, and you have to train to do that, and you have to train to the maximum capabilities of your airplane and the way you interact with the other guys, you know, as you're going to take the fight to the enemy. So historically, you know, to fight against somebody, that had to be taken out of hide in the squadrons. So somebody had to be the bad guy. So some days you fight, you're the good guy when you go out to fight, and some days you have to pay the price here and you have to be the bad guy. Well, Draken takes the place of the bad guy. So we are the guys that you fight against now. We augment and increase the numbers of the red air, if you will, and we fight alongside the aggressor squadron here at Nellis. You know, we're a force multiplier for that red air mission, and we give them another training opportunity so they can practice their skills.
One of the guys wrote in here from the UK and wanted to know if you do old fighter pilots' birthday parties yet. Are you into that at some point, maybe? Where I guess these guys can hire you. One of our RAF guys wrote in and asked that. So that's a good question. Yeah. Maybe you can branch out into, you know, old fighter pilot birthdays at some point. But I'm sure for the right price, you'd consider it. So
I celebrate it one every year.
Yeah, that's right. Let me bring up this because I think it's really cool while we're talking about Draken to talk about some of the different aircraft that your company operates. Can you point out a few of the high tops that you want to talk about? One of the coolest stories is the A-4s that you guys acquired from the New Zealand Air Force, which I think is really a great story. But and I know there's a lot of others out there that you're operating right now. Can you hit sort of the high points on that, Jerry?
Well, the A-4s from New Zealand were a real blessing to be able to purchase those aircraft and bring them into the country and get them back to flying status. And although they are a wonderful airplane and with a great history, I think what really sets those apart in my mind was the love that the Kiwis, all the New Zealand people, had for that airplane, and they still follow that airplane, and it is a very very much, even though Draken owns them, very much a sense of pride that those aircraft were brought back into flying condition and are still in use today very successfully. One of our latest acquisitions was the L-159E, which is the Advanced Light Combat Aircraft, or ALCA. It has now been renamed, kind of a nickname, as the Honey Badger. It does a very, very good job. It's got great electronics and does a great job of punishing mistakes when they're made. And if you can think about the Honey Badger as that, you know, the smaller animal that really has no fear, and it goes up against the big bad lions and the bears and anybody else that comes across, it just has no fear and will tackle anything. That's kind of fits very well with the L-159, a smaller aircraft, maybe slightly less, or a lot less capable, going up against fearless into the teeth of the night there.
I think that's terrific. And of course, some of the you have some of the old Soviet bloc aircraft. It looks like still the MiG-21, which that has to be a. I mean, what you have to, I guess, sort of pick your weapon depending on the mission that you're trying to train in. What would that mission be? I mean, because that's an odd aircraft in that it's a, you know, it's an interceptor, really. How did that fit in?
It is, and we will find a way to fit that into the company at some point in time. But you know, the newest acquisition that we just announced was the Mirage F1M, which we just acquired from Spain, and we'll have 22 of those aircraft up and ready to fly very, very shortly. And that is your Mach 2.2 platform that is going to be a real game changer in the contract adversary world. And we're very happy to be able to introduce that to U.S. Air Force fight.
And have you had the privilege of strapping one of these things on yet, Jerry?
Soon.
Soon.
Very soon, Matt.
I have to imagine what that's like. You know, going, you hear stories about guys that have done this where they go down and they bring back an airplane from a foreign government. I have to imagine that is quite the experience. Are you going to fly these things back, or are they already crated up and you're going to bring them back in a shipping container? Can you talk about that?
No, we haven't. We've got a plan together. I think when they show up in the States, we'll probably have more information out for everybody right now. But
it's not like buying a used car, though, I guess. Yeah. That's the point. You know,
there's multiple ways to get them back. You know, you can fly them or you can ship them. And,
right.
Probably
better stop there.
Yeah.
Okay. I can just imagine. I've heard so many fun stories about guys, you know, whether it's reclaiming old jets that were traded to allies. And they walk. A lot of these guys have said, you know, they walk up and it's like, hey, you know, where are the keys? We're here for the jet. And there's a lot of good stories around that. I'm sure you've heard as many as we have, but fun stuff, Jerry. So, Draken is doing well. You're doing a lot of work out there, but yet you still find time to fly Wild Blue, which is your RV 8A that you and your bride Lunar there operated air shows all across the country. And this is the little airplane that dreams of being a fighter jet someday. What do you have on tap for us in the coming year here with Wild Blue before we get into the Trojan Thunder stuff?
Well, you know, Wild Blue was the brainchild of Lunar, and you know, that's something that she came up with. I just had a little airplane with a nose gear on it that I was catching massive grief from all my tailwheel buddies. I still catch massive grief, but he wants to be a fighter jet, and last I checked, the ME-262 was the last fighter jet with a tailwheel, and those things went out of fashion a long time ago. So having the nose wheel on the little Wild Blue is kind of a mark of excellence for him, because he really is like a fighter jet. We have a lot of fun with him. The RB-8A is a very versatile airplane. You know, you can take off and fly 4.5 hours with, you know, yourself, Lunar in the passenger seat, full of fuel, 150 pounds of bags, and then show up and strip it down, and it'll go upside down and climb and do loops and rolls with the best of them. So It's a very versatile airplane that through Lunar's magic, we've been able to create a great story around it. And I think it's made an impact. And we've got a lot of things, and she does have a lot of things in store for the future for that whole, I wouldn't say just the airplane, but the whole story around that airplane. And so I think there's a lot for people to look forward to with that.
I think it's great. I remember, you know, as soon as your music starts up, when it turns it, especially the night show, when you do the tribute to law enforcement, I have seen grown men stop in their tracks as soon as the Chips theme comes up, and they look around. They're like, "What in the world is this?" kind of grabs them and pulls them in. It's a fun routine, and if you haven't seen it yet, check that out on the web. Just look up the Wild Blue Rodeo there with Jive and Lunar. And I think you'll enjoy seeing it. Jerry, a lot of questions are coming in tonight, some about Drock and some about just flying the F-4 here. I wanted to get to a few of these before we switch gears and we start talking about Trojan Thunder, this all-new North American-based T-28 airshow team that you're behind. This one coming in, though, from Ryan. He writes in he says, "I'm not U.S. I'm down south." I don't know what that means, but he wanted to know... He wanted to know if you had any tips for a retired fighter pilot. I'm assuming he is retiring soon from a foreign air force. How do you start flying for Drakken? Is there a pathway to sign up and fly for Drakken? Good question there.
Yeah, it's a great question. You know, and it all really comes down to, can you meet the security requirements? And probably the first one of that is U.S. citizenship. To be able to pass the security aspect of it. You know, we get so many applications. Great people are applying to our company, and we're so thankful that they have reached out. So we never really doubt, you know, a fighter pilot says, brings the credentials to us. But it really comes down to can we let you on the range? Can we let you at Nellis? And so I think that's probably the big answer for anybody coming in from a foreign retiring from a foreign service is if we can pass all the security requirements, then we'll certainly talk to you.
Ed from San Diego writes in. Ed, thanks for writing in. He wanted to know, what is the, he said, "Jerry, you mentioned electronics. That has to be a large part of the fight today. What is the percentage of electronics versus old-fashioned silver fox flying?" That's from Ed from San Diego. That's a great question because, you know, There are so many components, electronic components to modern warfare today. Is it all about the electronics, or is it all about the airmanship of a you know, for an adversary like you out there trying to teach these guys a new trick? What is the balance today, Jerry?
I think it's really hard to say, and that's a great question that he had. You know, and that's one of the things that sets Drakken apart from any other contract air service provider is that all our jets have radars. Well, we have the electronics to simulate fourth generation capabilities as an adversary, and so we're able to use our fire control radar systems to simulate the enemies in a credible way. But that's all in the beyond visual range environment. You know, eventually, and quite necessarily, you will merge in a visual engagement, and you have to have the skill sets for both the BVR, the beyond visual range, and the within visual range, in order to ensure you're prepared for the enemy. And we are able to be there on both of those regimes and provide a credible threat for them.
I think that's awesome and well said. Netta, right? I hope I'm pronouncing this name right. Netta, writing in tonight from the UK. A lot of UK listeners and a lot of folks down in New Zealand that we're getting messages from. Netta wrote in and just wanted to know if Netta, and I apologize for this. It looks like you're asking about the life support and ejection seats. Are the ejection seats still active in your aircraft? Just curious from Netta. So there you go.
So yes, that, yeah, absolutely everything they is are.
Done. Right. Okay.
They are, all the systems are as they were when they were active duty military. And it's required. And that's, you know, that's one of the things that sets Draken apart. You know, you can call us, we're not really your warbird operator. We are a civilian company that operates as a military unit, a military. We're steeped in the military technical orders. We are evaluated based on the maintenance, military style maintenance. And so it has to be perfectly maintained every time. There are no shortcuts in any of the maintenance that we do or any of the systems on our aircraft. They all have to be operational and in perfect working order. So, yes, the ejection seats are in operational order.
All right, good stuff there, Jerry. One more question here from this one's coming in from Brandon. He wanted to know if Black Diamond will ever come back. Any chance that the Black Diamond air show team will come back? That's reaching back just a few years here, isn't it, Jerry?
It is, and the answer is no, not as an air show team. The jets are still there. The jets are maintained in perfect working order. And you will see us at some flyover events around the country. But as an air show team, as any of the air show performers out there that may be listening knows, that takes a tremendous amount of time to maintain proficiency. And if you recall, every one of the Black Diamond pilots now is a major player in Draken International. So we've got our hands full with a whole other endeavor.
Yeah. Okay. Well, good answer there, and thanks for writing in. We're going to take a quick break, and I'm being really, really quick just for some of the terrestrial stations that carry this program. So what we're going to do is come back and have SkyDoc on with you, Jerry, to talk about Trojan Thunder, which is a new North American-based T-28 airshow team here in the U.S., and I'm guessing you're going to start flying shows here very soon in 2018. We're going to hear all about that. And this is going to be a good time. So stay with us. We'll be back with more from Jerry Kirby and the SkyDoc here in just a few moments. Stay with us, folks. We'll be right back in just a few seconds.
This is Warbird Radio Live.
Welcome back here to Warbird Radio Live. Matt Jolly here with you, hanging out, having a good time tonight, talking with Jerry Kirby. Want to tell you about next week's show. We are working on a really cool show next week, and I think I can go ahead and maybe perhaps spill the beans. Looks like it. You know, the time difference, trying to coordinate with guests is somewhat challenging over here, but it looks like that we have indeed confirmed with hopefully next week's guest. And we'll just see how this all comes together. But it looks like we may indeed have a really cool guy. You know what? I'm reading the email. It looks like it is confirmed. And I don't want to be snake bit. So here's what I'm going to do. We're going to hopefully announce this later today. But if it is the case, it's going to be a fun one. And here I am. This is horrible. You know, you pre-sell that you're going to have this great guest on it, and then you back off. I'm going to have to back off just a second. Jerry Kirby, you understand that. You don't want to speak too soon. And joining me right now is Jerry Kirby and the SkyDoc, I hope. I hope it's not his voicemail. SkyDoc, are you there with us as well?
Yes, I am.
Oh, that's awesome. Glad to have you both on tonight. Tell me about Trojan Thunder. This is a new formation. T-28 team, and Jerry, you and SkyDoc there are behind this, and tell me about it.
Well, it's six T-28s in formation, up to six T-28s in formation, you know, rocking the Wright Cyclone 1820 and 1,425 horsepower each coming across you in a banana pass is a feeling, a sensation. It makes your whole soul just well up in pride for American patriotism. It's just amazing, amazing what that does. And then the four-ship Diamond will go out and do some passes, and then you've got SkyDoc, you know, is first on the scene going vertical with his T-28. And then I follow him just a few seconds later, and we do our thing, and then the diamond comes back. And it's a very, very exciting, dynamic 15 minutes that is just a wonderful thing to see.
The team's goal here is to honor the military pilots who trained in the T-28 from the 1950s to the 1970s, as well as paying tribute to each performance to those still serving in the U.S. and the Canadian forces there. So a tribute to vets and abroad. Now, Jerry, I'm sure that you have met a lot of these former T-28 guys who trained out in Del Rio. They trained foreign military pilots as well in these aircraft. Talk to us a little bit about both of the respective T-28s that each of you are flying, because I'm sure they have an interesting story.
Well, Skydock, I think, you know, you've owned yours a lot longer than I've been flying mine. So I think I'm going to let Skydock talk to that question.
All right.
Yeah, so my T-28 was born 2 months before me, October of 55, and it spent most of its time in the Navy service, Pensacola and the outlying areas, although the original logs show that it spent 2 years out at Kaneohe Bay in Hawaii. And actually it was a B model at the time without a tailhook, but it logged 150 touch-and-goes on carriers out there, apparently during carrier quals. But that was 72 to 74, and then it came back to the U.S., retired in 78, and sat out at Davis-Monthan Air Force Base in the Boneyard for 11 years until 1989. I went out kicking tires out there, and they sold it to me. So I've had mine for, well, almost 28 years. I've actually owned and operated it longer than the U.S. military did at this point, so I guess you could kind of say it's mine, although I really say I'm just a steward of a piece of history here that belongs to all Americans, and we're happy to honor all service people and men in uniform, first responders, and their families when we take these things to the air again.
Well, Skydock, we talked a little bit about this with Jerry. How did you fall in love with aviation back in the day?
Well, you know, it started as I was a kid. You know, I was always looking to the sky, and I had an uncle who was, I'd have to say, a war hero, World War II. He was flying the B-26 Marauder, was the first unit deployed after Pearl Harbor. They sent him down to Fiji, of all places. And when Hap Arnold made his world tour in the middle of 1942, he saw them there, called them the lost bastards of the Air Force, because they forgot they were out there, and sent them over to New Caledonia to take place in the Guadalcanal campaign. And he flew 78 missions out there, earned many awards, and was sent back to the U.S., retrained in the P-61 Black Widow night fighter, and then redeployed to European theater, where he flew another 80 missions. Shot down one JU-88, but was actually assigned mostly to shooting down buzz bombs, because the P-61 was one of the few aircraft that could catch up with them and shoot them down. And also, he flew the first P-61 that carried rockets, air-to-ground rockets, so he spent a lot of time chasing German trains and locomotives and shooting at them. So he was always my inspiration, but he passed away when I was still pretty young. Yet when I was in medical school in St. Louis, I started taking flying lessons at the Parks Air College, where he took flying lessons in 1939, and tried to follow in his footsteps and emulate him a little bit.
I think that's a great story there. Let's revisit this just a little bit, because it is, as you said, up to six aircraft that they can fly here and put on this demonstration. If you have a question tonight, by the way, folks, you can call in the number 478-787-4768 will get you on. And it looks like before we ask this, we have a caller. Let's see if we can go to the phones. Caller, good evening. You're on the air.
Hello. Yes, I was wondering how one becomes a Trojan Thunder pilot.
Uh-oh. I know this voice. I'm sure Jerry recognizes it, too. Is this the great Jim Tobel?
I mean, you know, my aspirations have always been to be a pilot. And I think to be a Trojan Thunder pilot would be the ultimate goal from any pilot.
Well, there you go. Jerry, you want to take that question?
I did. I can't hear it, Matt.
So he wants to know what it takes to become a Trojan Thunder pilot, and I believe this is Jim Tobel. I could be wrong, but I think it's Jim Tobel.
It is.
Well, good,
well,
Jim.
Oh, my God.
And I, Jim, we may be having some trouble getting you over to Jerry, but thanks for the call tonight, Jim. And I'll let him take that question offline there. Good to hear your voice.
Definitely. And great call. I was trying to call in, and I just wanted to help engage. It's great
awesome.
Conversation tonight.
Thanks a bunch, Jim. Good to hear your voice. So there you go, Jerry. You never know who's listening to this show.
I swear. That's really, really nice to hear your friends are on the radio.
Calling
listening to it. But, you know... You know, Jim, if you think you can hang with the big boys there, we'll get you a little bit of proficiency and expertise in these airplanes and see, we'll give you a little tryout and see how you do.
Can Jim fly something with a nose wheel? I don't know. I mean, that's kind of a hard, it's a hard thing to do, Jerry, as you pointed out. That's what most fighter aircraft have, a nose wheel. I think I don't know. We'll have to see. I guess he has that MU-2. That thing has a nose wheel. But does that
yeah,
count?
Yeah.
I don't know. We'll see.
Yeah. All
right.
Don't let all these nose wheel haters fool you. Most of them have multiple of these aircraft with their nose wheel.
Well, here's where we were going earlier before Jim called. And by the way, phone lines are open tonight, 478-787-4768. It's a free call anywhere in the world on Skype. It's just Warbird Radio. Wanted to ask, and this is coming in from a listener as well, where can we find Trojan Thunder in 2018? I'm sure you're booking shows as we speak, but do you know of one yet that is confirmed where you guys are comfortable announcing that you're going to be?
No, we don't have anything
nothing yet.
Actually confirmed yet. But after ICAST, and that comes up in less than 2 weeks, we will announce the schedule as best we know it right after ICAST.
I can remember you telling me down at that favorite place of everybody's at ICAST there. I won't say the name of it, but I was griping about something, having this scheduling conflict, and you looked at me and you grabbed my shoulder and you said, "Matt, that's why I don't tell anybody anything until January, because you can't really figure this stuff out until then." I've never forgotten that, Jerry. So, thank you. You're absolutely correct. You never know. But if you want to follow the team there, Trojan Thunder, you can do it at trojanthunder.com. It's the website, and we will link into to the website here on the show story. Make it easy for those of you listening to the podcast tonight. But that's going to be a great routine. Anything, Skydoc, that you want to add to this, feel free to jump in here. What you guys are looking forward to in 2018 with flying this new routine?
Well, one thing I want to jump in on even before that is just to take issue with Jive saying that the F-4 Phantom is the Harley of the skies. And, you know, that may be true in the jet world, but, boy, I just think the T-28 is the Harley of the sky. You know, it's got that rumbling radial engine, and we're like a bunch of motorcycle gangs flying through, and you just feel it in your chest as those planes come thundering by. And what I'm really looking forward to this year with starting up the Trojan Thunder, it's a great group of guys. And we want to add more mix in there, more flexibility to cater to a wider audience than even anything we could have hoped. We want to, if you want Trojans, we got them. You want a solo acroac, you want a static display, you want a 2-ship, 3-, 4-, 6-ship. You know, we could even swing something bigger at Oshkosh when the whole T-28 community gathers. Flybys for sporting events, missing man requests to honor people. You know, we're there to serve the community. We're there to honor the veterans and their families and all first responders, people in uniform now. But we're just so thrilled and excited to get a seasoned group of guys together. We've all been flying together at Oshkosh for so long. I've known most of these guys for well over a decade, some for two. And with Jive on board, you know, he is the man. He's the guy who knows how to do it all, and we're just so thrilled to all be together on this new venture.
I think it's a great one at that. And, of course, Jive Lunar, your bride there, is standing by on the phone line waiting to take a call from any air show that would like to hire you guys. And you can just send it to airshow@trojanthunder.com, and they'll get that, or you can send it to trojanthunder28@gmail.com. com, and they'll get the information out to you about the routine and about what it takes to get Trojan Thunder to your air show for 2018. It's always neat to have a new team come online in the wintertime. What are you guys doing to rehearse right now? How do you put something like this together from a training aspect?
Well, in the wintertime, we're a little bit quiescent. Most of us live up in the frozen north. We do our individual practice, but we'll have our early spring training to get back together and knock off a few cobwebs and be ready to go. Like I said, most of us have been flying together for years, and we are familiar with each other, and it'll just be a quick session to get ourselves up and ready for the season.
I think that's great. Well,
I have a little...
Yeah, no, I think it's terrific that you bring that up, because you know we always try and focus on safety and on this show, but then really in the month of March we devote the entire month of that when everybody's kind of coming out of the winter maintenance cycle and trying to knock off all those turkey legs that we're about to eat and get back in shape to start flying, and that's you bring up a really great point there, Skydoc, that you guys have all been flying together for a number of years. And this is a new venture for you under a new name, and I think it's just it's terrific. And you have really put that together, I think, Jerry, earlier in your thoughts too, that training is something that you do for a lifetime. And so to see you guys continue on in that and keep your skills sharp, I think is really terrific and a great testimony to just what kind of aviators you guys are, that you've been doing this your entire life, and this is just kind of a continuation and the next chapter. So I congratulate you both, and I hope to see you guys at an air show in 2018. It's going to be a lot of fun.
Yeah. Thanks, Matt. It's going to be a lot of fun getting back together with everybody and starting flying. But, you know, the routine is going to be new. The music narration is going to be new. And, you know, we do have training to do, you know, before those first few shows to get ourselves back up. And, you know, we have been flying together for a number of years, all of us. But again, complacency is the one thing that we always fight against, and we make sure that we have the required number of practices before we go into to our air show season. And I think that first practice session that we're all going to get together is going to be a blast to really put Trojan Thunder on the map. So we're really looking forward to it.
Yeah, looking forward to seeing all the shots from that. And there's all, you know, that's one thing about air shows. There's always photographers around. You never know where they come from, but they always show up, and always some great images that come from some of these sessions. So I look forward to seeing you guys. Give everybody the. Do you know the booth number where you're going to be? Just look for the Trojan Thunder guys at ICAS if you want to, and I'm sure you can consult the show layout there at the Paris Hotel. It's the 50th anniversary. International Council of Air Shows convention coming up in December, and I know you guys will be there. So if you don't know the booth number, just look for them in the convention hall there. But great stuff. Anything you guys want to add? Go ahead there, Scott.
The booth number for Trojan Thunder is going to be 520.
520, 520.
Right next door. Yeah. Right next door, Wild Blue Rodeo will be in 518.
All right. Keep your friends close. There you go. Well, thanks again, and I'll let you guys have the final thought tonight as we wrap things up here. Either one of you want to add something in before we go, and we'll give you the time.
Well, Matt, it's been a real pleasure to have. Yeah, thanks for having me on, and it's great to hear Skydoc as well. But we're certainly very grateful for everything that we're able to provide in the air show community, and you know, blessed to have the opportunity. So we're looking forward to bringing Trojan Thunder and also Wild Blue Rodeo to all the fans for 2018, and we hope to see everybody at ICAST in Las Vegas.
Great. Skydoc, you have a closing thought here?
Well, I just feel so fortunate to be associated with these wonderful people in the air show community. It's just really a family to me, and, you know, except the only difference is I like everybody. As opposed to most family. But we're just so thrilled and looking forward to a great year and looking forward. This will be my first ICAST convention, so I'm very excited. Can't wait to see you, Matt, and see Jive again and everybody there.
All right. Well, thank you both for coming on the show. And, Jerry, you won't actually see – well, you'll see a version of me there. Jerry and Lunar are hosting a very reduced version of me. at their house here in a few days, and they're going to bring me to ICAST. But, well, you'll get the idea. I can't go this year, so I'm sending a cardboard cutout. And Lunar has a whole plan worked out. Flat Matt, yeah. Lunar has an entire plan for this thing, I guess, Jerry. So hey, thanks for letting me come into your house and home, Jerry. I really appreciate it.
I venture to say that Flat Matt Jolly is going to have probably more fun than the real Matt Jolly.
I can probably guarantee that because yeah, I don't know what all Lunar's got planned, but hey, I really appreciate you guys doing that. Thanks again, and thanks for coming on the show tonight, gentlemen. It was a pleasure having you.
Thank you so much.
All right, everybody. So next week we'll see how this continues to unfold. I hate to spill the beans on this, but I'm telling you, this is going to be a really cool one. So we've never been able to have anybody like this on that in the let's just say current test pilot. I'll put it to you that way. And this is going to be some good stuff. So I hope you can join us next week for an all-new Warbird Radio Live at 8 p.m. East Coast time. And remember, pick up the phone and call in if you want to. 478-787-4768. It is bright and early, 4 a.m. when we start this show. So I try to get up and have my coffee. Fortunately, tonight, I don't believe we hit any wrong buttons in the studio. I'm still getting used to this new... this new layout. It's not the we ought to post. I guess I need to post a picture of this. It's not the comfortable studio that I'm used to working in. This is kind of a, well, it's what you'd expect over here. It's a folding table that we ordered, and just a it's not even our remote equipment that we take on the road with us. It's worse than that. But we're making do with it. I'm trying to figure it out and keep it all patched together. So. You make the most of it when you're in a situation like this. But listen, thank you so much for listening tonight, and be sure and thank a veteran if you see one. So long for now, everybody. We'll be back next week with an all-new Warbird Radio Live.